Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word, presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace, revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
There's a true story of a missionary family who had returned from the mission field and gave up being missionaries altogether. The reason for it was that they had encountered unbelievably small-minded legalism again and again in the field from fellow missionaries. And incredibly, the core reason for their departure from mission work was peanut butter. The particular place they were sent to serve the Lord did not have access to peanut butter, but this family happened to enjoy peanut butter a great deal. Creatively, they made arrangements with some of their friends in the States to send them peanut butter every now and then. The problem was that they didn't know until they started receiving their supplies of peanut butter that the other missionaries considered it a mark of spirituality that you not have peanut butter. The other missionaries believed that since they couldn't get peanut butter there, they should give it up for the cause of Christ. And so a basis of spirituality among them became living without peanut butter. The young missionary family didn't buy into that line of thinking. Their family kept getting regular shipments of peanut butter. They didn't flaunt it. They just enjoyed it in the privacy of their own home. But pressure began to intensify. The legalism was so petty. The pressure got so intense and the exclusive treatment became so unfair. It finished them off spiritually. Unable to continue against the mounting pressure, they packed it in and were soon homebound, disillusioned. Legalism was present in and around the Colossians, and the Apostle Paul was concerned that it would tear down and discourage them in their walk. Legalism is a grace robber. It is the pursuit of holiness by self-effort. The believer's life under grace is not about keeping the law or a list of rules. Rather, as members of the church, the body of Christ, living the Christian life under grace is about our relationship with our living head, Jesus Christ, in light of our liberty in Him. Colossians 2, 16-17 read, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." The therefore in "let no man therefore" points back in the context to our completeness in Christ, the triumph of His cross, and Christ blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. At the cross, Christ erased and wiped out the ordinances, the demands, the condemnation of the law, and took it out of the way, and we are free from the law. Thus, Paul teaches the church under grace to let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. The Colossians were taught that since they were complete in Christ and were free from the law and its observances, they were to let no one sit in judgment of them for living by grace and in their freedom from the law. They were not to allow someone to have power over them and permit them and their mistaken opinion and beliefs concerning keeping the law to influence their conduct. Paul was reminding them that they were not responsible to man for their conduct, but to the Lord. And no person has a right to impose the law on us as a burden from which Christ has made us free. The issue being dealt with by Paul was one's spirituality in light of being complete in Christ. And he shows us that just like our salvation is all Christ and all grace, so is our walk. So is our growth in spirituality. It is not Christ in the law. Christ alone by grace. So Paul told the Colossians to not let any person judge them in meat or in drink. This pertains to the prohibitions concerning food and drink within the dietary regulations of the law of Moses. Jewish law restricted certain foods, and God labeled certain foods as clean and unclean, or unholy. Under grace, there are no prohibitions on food. We are free from the law's legalistic restrictions concerning food. God has cleansed all food today, and the dietary regulations of the law are no longer in force under grace. Thus we should let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink today, because as Paul tells us, every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused. Paul added, let no man therefore judge you in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. In order, Paul gives annual, monthly, and weekly celebrations under the law in this verse. And holy day refers to the festivals of Israel, one of the seven annual feast days under the law, which are Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of First Fruits, Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, Feast of Tabernacles, also known as Booths or Sukkot. These feasts are still carried out by those who follow Judaism today, and that is why you often see them noted on calendars. New Moon was the monthly observance and monthly festival on the first day of each month in accordance with the law. Sabbath days was the weekly observance and celebration of the seventh day in which they abstained from all work. It also included the special Sabbath days associated and related with the celebrations of the feasts. We are not required to keep the Sabbath or to worship on the Sabbath under grace. Christ has blotted out all these requirements, decrees, and ordinances. These things that were once required to be carried out by faith for acceptance with God under the law. Today, however, it is not right for us to observe these things under grace. Paul said that these things of the law are a shadow of things to come. The writer of Hebrews also states, for the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things. The shadow is not the real thing and has no substance. It is an image cast by an object which represents its form. The reality is what makes the shadow. David Dykes tells the following story. He said, when I was growing up in L.A., Lower Alabama, we usually had four or five dogs and cats to claim as our pets. By virtue of being the oldest child, my older sister Judy demanded the right to name all our pets. We had a dog that was part German Shepherd, which Judy named Rex. While Rex was a ferocious-looking dog, he was a chicken at heart. He was scared of everything. None of our pets ever came inside, he said. They were yard pets. But once when it thundered, Rex was so frightened, he broke through the screen door and came in and hid under the table. His bark wasn't worse than his bite because he seldom barked and he never bit either. However, there was one thing that could make Rex bark. Sometimes when a bird or a flock of birds flew over on a sunny day, Rex often chased their shadows on the ground. I can recall watching as one bird flew around in a circle with Rex chasing the circling shadow on the ground, barking the whole time. Our poor Rex, he never figured out that the shadow wasn't real. There are many today who chase the shadows of the law, try to live by the law instead of grace, or they mix law and grace. But Paul didn't want the Colossian believers chasing the shadows of the law or to be influenced to prefer those Jewish observances over Christ. For both the believing and the unbelieving, missing Christ, substituting shadows and religion for him, is a tragedy. being under grace, delivered from the law, complete in Christ, having Christ in you, the hope of glory, united with Him as our living head. Paul did not want the church to be influenced to live by the shadows of the law. When we have Christ, we have the reality. Spirituality under grace does not consist of merely keeping external rules of the law. It's about having an inner relationship with Christ by grace that's carried out in our freedom from the law, that is guided and led by Christ and His grace instruction for us found in Paul's letters. Paul wrote, "But the body is of Christ." Christ is the body, or the substance of the shadow. He is the reality casting the shadow. Christ is the reality to which the shadows pointed. The shadow of the law and its ceremonies foreshadowed many things about Christ's person and work before the Lord came historically. And He fulfilled them as the body, or the substance, the reality of the shadow. For example, the Passover was a shadow of Christ's sacrificial death as the Lamb of God. The Feast of First Fruits was a shadow of Christ's resurrection. The Sabbath day was a shadow of the millennial rest that Israel will one day enjoy in Christ. The point Paul is making is, why look at the shadow when you can look at Christ? The law and its shadows are not to be added to Him. The law has been taken out of the way. Christ alone is sufficient for our Christian lives. Grace points us to the supremacy of Jesus Christ and the completeness of His saving work. Colossians 2:18 to 19 read, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God." Paul tells the Colossians, "Let no man beguile you of your reward," or don't let anyone defraud or rob you of your prize. Because you are complete in Christ, you cannot be robbed of your salvation. But you can be robbed of a reward, and you can experience that future loss. Paul did not want anyone leading the Colossians away from Christ, from taking their eyes off of Him and getting them fixed on some lesser person. The Colossians were in danger of becoming distracted and diverted as they ran the Christian race and not staying on the track. And believers who are turned away from serving and following Christ and are led to follow after and worship lesser beings will be robbed of the rewards they could have had when they stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. And Paul says that some who were leading believers astray and away from Christ in Colossae, they had a voluntary humility. This is speaking of humility in an ironic sense, of a self-imposed false humility. It refers to taking delight in humility. In other words, they were proud to be humble. And their false humility was expressed in worshiping angels. They were reverencing and elevating angels and making them mediators and intercessors. In their feigning humbleness, believing themselves unworthy to appeal directly to God, they instead were worshiping angels and appealing to God through them. As they attempted to establish support and authority for themselves and their teachings, the false teachers claimed to have seen visions of angels or from angels. But Paul sets the record straight and says that they were intruding into those things which he hath not seen, or they had not seen anything. They had imagined their visions and invented their revelations. And while they made a show of humility and truth, Paul says they were vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, or inflated with conceit and dominated by their flesh. Worshipping of angels is still with us even today. But God's word is clear. that we are to only worship God. The Lord himself told Satan in the wilderness when Satan tried to get him to bow down to him, "For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." The worshiping of angels was one reason why Paul made it very clear in this letter that by Christ were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. And of the fallen angels, Paul had just written that because of the glory and victory of the cross, Christ spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Christ is creator. Christ is Lord over all angelic ranks and orders, and he triumphed over all the fallen angels. Christ alone, the creator, the savior, is worthy of our worship, not angels. In their pride and false doctrine in worshiping angels, these false teachers were not holding the head or not holding fast or clinging to Christ. Colossians 1:18 says of the Lord, and he is the head of the body, the church. To worship angels is to miss and misunderstand the headship of Christ over the church. We must not substitute anything for Christ. As our head, Christ is Lord over the church, and he alone is the one we worship, we serve, and we hold fast to in the body of Christ. We must hold fast to Christ, and in doing so, hold him supremely above all, because that is his rightful place. We cannot live the Christian life without Christ, the head. It is he, the head, who gives the instruction and guidance for the church through the revelation of his word. And we must hold closely to his word and Paul's epistles in particular, so we live by Christ's direct will for his church under grace. If we do not hold fast or stay close to the Lord in our personal relationship with him, we will lack in our Christian lives what Christ supplies. But as we do hold fast to Christ, we cling to the one in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And as Paul tells us, it is from the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. As our head and our God, Christ supplies his church, the body, with spiritual nourishment, life, truth, wisdom, direction, and strength. Christ provides what the church needs by his grace, and he knits and he compacts it together. So by faith, we hold to the one who holds the body together. Christ holds the body together, and we are joined to him. And by Paul's mention of the joints and bands, or ligaments, it shows the uniting, the joining, the connection of the body to one another, and how the members depend on each other in the church. The body and its members grow in and through Christ and his life, and Paul says that through him, the body increaseth with the increase of God. We increase through the head of the church. Spiritual growth comes to the church from our connection with Christ. And holding fast to the head emphasizes the need for our dependence on the Lord. The closer our walk, the closer our relationship with him, the greater will be our increase, and that we will grow to be more like him. Colossians 2:20-23 reads, "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship, and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Paul returns to speak of the law of Moses in these verses, when Paul wrote, "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world," this refers to our spiritual baptism, and that we were crucified with Christ and died with Christ. The rudiments of the world refer to the law of Moses. In Galatians 4:3, Paul wrote, "Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world." The word elements in Galatians and rudiments here in Colossians are translated from the exact same Greek word. The Mosaic law is rudimentary, elementary, compared to life under grace. The Mosaic law tied people to rules and regulations that kept them in bondage to the external. Under grace, our lives are governed by grace. It's governed by our freedom in Christ, the internal strength of the Holy Spirit, and we live by the Word, rightly divided. Paul is reminding the Colossians that when we died with Christ, we died to the law. We are free from the law. And that being so, Paul wondered, and he asked, "Why? As though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances?" Submitting oneself to the ordinances of the law does not sanctify your Christian life. Christ does that. Holding fast, staying close to the Lord in our relationship with Him, by grace, through faith, that's how we increase. That's how we grow spiritually under grace. Speaking of the ordinances, Paul wrote of these ordinances that they say, "Touch not, taste not, handle not." To me, this verse sounds like a parent's refrain with young children. "Don't touch that. Don't eat that. Don't handle that." But "do not, do not, do not" is the refrain of legalism. Often you find that a legalist sets himself as the criterion of spirituality. Their insinuation by their words and actions is, "You are not spiritual unless you have given up this or given up that, like I have." However, our growth as believers is not achieved by keeping laws and rules or denying ourselves this or that. Rather, we grow by clinging to Christ and living by grace. It's been said that the essence of legalism is trusting in the religious activity rather than trusting in God. It's putting our confidence in a practice rather than in a person. And without fail, this will lead us to love the practice more than the person. And that's the danger of legalism. We are called to love the Lord, to live for Him by faith in a personal relationship. Some of the Colossian believers were following the law and putting the law's restrictions on what they should not eat, should not touch, or should not handle. And Paul said that these things under grace all are to perish with the using, or they fail in their purpose. They do not restrain the flesh. They do not have the value they appear to have for one's sanctification and spiritual growth. The Colossians were being made subject to the ordinances of the law, and then he says, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Bad teaching was leading the Colossians astray, causing them to follow the law when they were under grace. To live by the law is to operate completely contrary to the grace of God that God is revealing today, and which is to be our rule of life in this dispensation of grace. There is a lot of teaching today that puts people under the law. But in our understanding and growth, we need to take our stand that I died with Christ. I'm free from the law. I live in the dispensation of the grace of God. And in our freedom under grace, we are to live by grace. and by Christ's grace instruction for us through Paul. Paul then gave a strong indictment against legalism in verse 23, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. As the one who practices rigid self-denial and tries to follow the law and its ordinances, Paul says that they have a show or an outward appearance of wisdom and spirituality, but it's just that. It's the appearance of wisdom and not real wisdom. They do this through their will worship. Will worship is self-imposed worship, serving God through one's own willpower in an attempt to religiously keep the law. It is not worship of God in spirit and in truth, according to God's truth for today. In their will worship, and in the neglecting of the body, as they discipline themselves, they have a show of humility. People who deny themselves give the appearance that they are humble, spiritual, pious. But like they have a show of wisdom, but it's not real wisdom. They have a show of humility, but it's only a show. It's not genuine humility. It is pride. And Paul says that all of this is not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh, or it has no value in truly controlling the flesh. Man tries to be spiritual, or tries to have the appearance of being spiritual by outward things. The thought process is that the more they discipline themselves, the more they deny themselves, the more that God will be impressed. But spirituality grows inwardly, in the heart. We grow and mature spiritually through faith in our Lord, through the word of His grace. As we keep our focus on our Savior, we keep our focus on His grace, the things and ways of legalism will fall away. Our freedom under grace today is about living in the glory and the blessing of our personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.BereanBibleSociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society. Now, until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.